The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 101. The sea is fairly unpredictable. It is especially unpredictable if you know nothing about it. I'm sure experienced sailors have some kind of idea when a storm is brewing. No doubt this vague notion is informed somewhat by the observance of external stimuli. That is to say, they look at the sea and the sky, and by these observations, using their prior knowledge and experience, they are able to ascertain that some form of disturbance is impending, and they accordingly prepare themselves for this upheaval. I, on the other hand, with virtually no experience of or knowledge about the sea, and stashed away below decks, where I could see or hear nothing of the world outside the galley, had no idea that anything was approaching. No one, not even Roger or Alvy, who were at least above decks and could see something, had seen fit to warn me. And so, when the storm hit, I was completely unprepared. Now you may well ask how I would have prepared had I known that there was a storm approaching, and I must confess that I have no good answer for you. But it is the principle of the thing that bothers me. I am upset that I did not have the opportunity to prepare. I feel that I was owed that. Of course, there was one thing that I would not have done had I known that I was about to be assailed by a massive storm. I would not have been in the midst of putting away all the cook's heavy tureens at that exact moment. That was not good. When the first big wave hit the side of the boat, all the tureens, the ones in my hands and the ones I had just put up in the cupboard, converged rather swiftly on my noggin. I believe I was struck simultaneously, or more or less simultaneously, by 5 of them. This had the effect of knocking me to the floor, or deck, I guess, and confusing me somewhat. The second big wave dumped everything else in the kitchen storage on top of me. This hurt quite a bit. The third big wave shuffled everything in the room, including me. I believe at one point I may have been on the ceiling, but as I had been struck in the head several times with hard metal objects at that point, I would not swear to it in a court of law. When I awoke, the ship was still thrashing about fairly wildly, and I was soaked. At first I assumed we were sinking, and that I was awash in the sea water we were taking on. The fact that I could taste salt reinforced this notion. But in fact, a large jar of pickles had broken on my head, and this brine, combined with my own blood, was what I was tasting. The general moistness of me was caused by the fact that I was now, somehow, curled up in the sink, which still had some dish water in it. There is nothing like a life at sea.